Hey, it's Emily, your favorite Pod Rocket producer. Did you know that Log Rocket has a TikTok now? You can catch up on all the interview clips from this show, watch UX tutorials, and get more great content from Log Rocket. You can check out the Log Rocket TikTok today at log.rocket. See you on TikTok.
Prior to Ghosty, you could either get fast, feature-rich, or platform-native. You couldn't get all three of those. And I think you could build a terminal that's fast, has a lot of features, and is cross-platform in a way that feels like it was purpose-built for the platforms it runs on. A lot of people ask, oh, what's so revolutionary about it? If those three properties aren't important to you, then there's nothing revolutionary about it. It's a terminal. But once you run it, it's pretty much the only one, in my opinion, that checks all three of those boxes.
Hi there. Welcome to Pod Rocket, a web development podcast brought to you by Log Rocket. My name is Paul, and joined with us today is Mitchell Hashimoto. He's the founder of HashiCorp, and what we're going to be talking about today, Ghosty. In this episode, Mitchell and I are going to dig into why he started Ghosty, the architecture behind Ghosty, and plans for future development, the potential expansion for Ghosty's core, and how the community is actively getting involved. So here's our episode with Mitchell Hashimoto. Excited to have you on the podcast, Mitchell, and excited to see what you're digging into today.
Thanks for inviting me. I'm excited to be here.
So what allowed you to start thinking about Ghosty? First, identifying the need in the market, and then B, scoping out the time and the resources personally to kick that project off the ground.
Both really good categories to jump into. I mean, identifying the need in the market, I didn't, I guess. I came from this from an angle of I wanted to learn something. And I feel like that's a really good way to go about getting into, I guess, certain categories. Is I thought that I would work on something like this for a few months and then just move on to the next thing. I do that all the time. I don't talk about that stuff. I think it's every engineer should be doing that all the time, just picking up new stuff, keeping fresh. And I thought this was going to be one of those situations. And month three turned into month four, turned into month five, and on and on and on. And at a certain point, I suppose, I realized that I liked using my terminal more than others. And I had close friends that felt the same way. And so there must be a gap that I'm filling. And then when I thought about it more critically, I identified the gap. And the gap to me was that there's this sort of pick two out of three trade-off that existed prior to Ghosty, which is you could either get fast, feature-rich, platform-native slash, you know, cross-platform. Basically, you pick two out of those three. You couldn't get all three of those. And there was nothing fundamental to that trade-off to me. I was like, I think you could build a terminal that's fast, has a lot of features, and is cross-platform in a way that feels like it was purpose-built for the platforms it runs on. And that's what I'm going to aim for. And so that's what Ghosty is. So it's, I think a lot of people ask, oh, what's so revolutionary about it? It's if those three properties aren't important to you, then there's nothing revolutionary about it. It's a terminal. But if you've been looking for something, or maybe you didn't know, but you could, once you run it, you realize you've been looking for these three properties, then it's pretty much the only one, in my opinion, that checks all three of those boxes. And so that was a market need that exists. I think since starting the beta program, really getting into it, I think there's actually much bigger opportunities now with the terminal that I'm still poking at, very hypothetical. I just think that text platforms have a place. So that's the sort of identify market need. And then you asked about carving out time. And yeah, so I left HashiCorp, and immediately, this is a total coincidence. I left HashiCorp when my first child was 2 months old or so. And after doing the startup grind for 12 years at that point, I wanted to, and my wife asked me to, just chill out, just take a break, stop the madness. And so, yeah, I really leaned into just being a father and was there pretty much full time for my kid. But at around 1 year, like started sort of ramping up the time I carved out. First, it was just nights. And then now I'm up to a third of a day every day. I'm just like ramping back into working a little bit more as my kid has more going on for her.
That's an interesting market need. It's sort of like a feature set need that might be difficult to satisfy with what's out there. The piece that makes it less compatible cross-platform, would you say that's the core nugget that you're tackling here? Because that's sort of like the fundamental layer that you can then usher in, like whether it be internal APIs, interfaces, or whatever for the feature set at hand.
I guess so. I guess I would agree with that. I think like at the core, what a terminal is capable of is the real innovative piece long-term of the project. It's not something we've done a lot with right now. It's just like the opportunity we have to do something there is definitely really big. I think the core innovation right now is really in the feature richness that we provide while being cross-platform. So we're, I think objectively, if you list terminal capabilities, then I think we're probably the most feature-rich terminal alone, if you look at just macOS or just Linux. But then the fact that you get that across platform makes it pretty special, in my opinion. So I think that's really the core innovation right now. Like a really like superficial but important example is on macOS. We're like one of three terminals that, and you know, there's 50, so it's a pretty small group, but we're like one of three terminals that has the ability to do like the Quake style, Doom style terminal where like it visors down from the top. And it sounds really superficial, but until I started this beta program, I didn't realize that how many people only want to interact with a terminal that way. I'm used to having it as an app that's open all the time that I kind of tab to once in a while. But people who don't live in the terminal as much as I do, they pretty much just want like a drop-down terminal to just appear. And that's just like their primary interface. So it's table stakes that if that feature doesn't exist, they can't use a terminal. And again, just like that's not nearly as niche as I thought it was. I thought that was like, oh, a handful of people. But since shipping that terminal, that's led to just, I like to extrapolate scale because we don't track, we don't have any telemetry in Ghosty. I tend to extrapolate scale based on my experience at HashiCorp from GitHub issues, social media, so on. And usually my general metric is to multiply everything by any, it's very rough, but multiply anything from around 10 to 100 because if eight people upvote something on GitHub, there's probably like 800 people that actually have this problem that just aren't going to say anything about it or just left, just disappeared. And yeah, the drop-down terminal we have had like hundreds of upvotes in the beta, in the closed beta, which it's a huge part of terminal workflows.
That's super interesting. I would also think that's kind of niche, having like being somebody that taps to my terminal like occasionally. Yeah, very. So I was going to ask, what are some examples of things that other terminals might struggle with that like you're tackling here? That's a great example that really highlights like what the feature set could be.
It's a good platform native example because that really required like both on Linux, it's supported now on Linux and macOS, both on Linux and macOS. That one had to have completely different implementations because it's such a low level, like the way you're integrating with the window manager and doing the animation and all this stuff, it's pretty like specific. But the fact we're able to do that but share the terminal cores, it's a pretty good example of the architecture and goals of the project.
You mentioned the terminal core. This is like the layer deeper I want to get at. If people are listening to this pod and they're going, ah, another terminal with more buttons and switches, cool. But there's actual innovation. There's re-architecting going on here that allow you to offer this. It's at the cross-platform layer. The feature example you gave with the window manager is a great example. So can you talk to us a little bit about the stack, the interface stack that you're working on here and how it's exciting to you? Maybe if you could skin your explanation in a way or color in a way that like, this is why features are really cool. That would also help add some color to folks listening.
I'll do my best. It's hard for me to figure it out because everything's exciting for me and it's hard for me to figure out what's exciting for non-terminal people. But yeah, okay. At its core, there's this shared library that we call libghosty that is really responsible for terminal emulation, which is the layer where, you know, when a program you're running sends a command to change the color of the cursor, like handle that. But there's about 1,000 of those commands. So that's a core cross-platform thing. That's written in Zig, but it's exported as a C API. So the Mac app consumes a C API. We'll get to that. So that's like the core part that as we ship features there, both platforms just get it immediately. And features you would expect to have there are things like an image protocol. So the Kitty terminal emulator invented an image protocol that we support where you could actually render images like full PNGs and stuff in the terminal. That completely works with Ghosty. That's all done at that layer. There's also above that, you start getting into the platform specific layers, what we call the app runtime layer. That's where you're actually doing something platform native. So on Mac, for example, Ghosty is a Swift application built in Xcode, like fully Mac native, and it's just consuming the C API of libghosty. And that's where we're doing all this windowing stuff. That's not going to be ever cross-platform at all. And similarly on Linux, we maintain a GTK-based runtime, but there's already community members that do like Pure Wayland, and there's a Qt one, There's sort of options there that shows the flexibility. So one of the exciting things that I guess I really like is this this architecture, I think, is really exciting because historically, if you look at the terminal ecosystem, let's look at iTerm, terminal.app, Ghosty, Kitty, WesTerm, like you keep listing them. There's like that. I just was listing Mac ones, but there's like dozens more on Linux. You keep listing all these. Pretty much all of them have completely reinvented that terminal core, including Ghosty, right? Like we did too. And to me, it's the most boring part. It's both the most boring and it's the most fractured part. Like that's the part where like when one terminal supports one feature and one doesn't, like your programs break basically. And so I think there's a lot of value in making that a library like I have. And that's my goal of trying to make that shared. And then above that, letting people focus on what I call the last mile interface problem, but that's not fair because that last mile is a very long mile. There's a lot of work to be done up there. And yeah, just focusing on building the best sort of interface to a terminal, which I think is where a lot of the innovation happens, such as this drop-down terminal work. Yeah.
What area of the stack do you think has the most opportunity for explosive growth by the community?
It is probably the core, I think, has the most opportunity. This is the opportunity we haven't really exploited yet in any way, or exploits maybe not the right word because it has a negative connotation, but it's not really the part of the stack where we've really tried to leverage or push any boundaries. I'm being very careful about that because I don't want to rock any boats, because terminal emulation to people in the name means that you're emulating a system that isn't yours. Like you, to me, my responsibility is like to not disrupt the ecosystem too much, because like programs that work in one terminal emulator should work in other terminal emulators. I don't think that's reality, but I think that's what people expect. And so I've been really careful there, but I think there's a ton of opportunity there. One of the things I want to do with Ghosty is like one of the core beliefs behind it is that there's a big space available for text applications. And one of the things I ask people usually is if you're specifically like a terminal text editor user, but you're not using it in the terminal, because it's a really easy bar for me. If you're a Vim user or an Emacs user or something like that, and you're running a dedicated app for it. So like for Vim, there's Mac Vim, Neovide, like all these things. Like my first question to them is, why aren't you running in the terminal? Not in an accusational way, like really genuinely, I'm curious, like what benefits does this graphical version have over the terminal one? And I think those are the first things that we need to tackle at this low level. So the basics that people give me are like right-click menus aren't native in the terminal version. They turn into 2D boxes. If you create a tab in the terminal version, it creates like virtual tabs, not like real system tabs. Dock integration on macOS, things like that. And so that makes me think, what do I need to expose from the terminal layer so that these text applications can bleed enough into the native system to feel really good, but still just be able to be a terminal application? Because a terminal to me, the analogy I make is it's like a browser. It's just a platform for creating text applications in the same way that a browser is pretty much a platform for creating graphical applications nowadays.
Do you think that there's a large bridge to gap when it comes to a minimum critical mass of where you think Ghosty should be to feel on par with a lot of the experiences that like folks might reach for a terminal-esque but separate experience?
Yeah. I think it's sizable. And I think it matters how you approach it. So I harped on the terminal emulation part of it. And what terminals have done historically is they've just added, bolted on standards onto terminal emulation that other terminals either do or don't adopt. And it's very fractured. So Kitty is a good example of this. They have their own keyboard protocol, image protocol, all works great in Kitty. The number of terminals that supported outside of Kitty is relatively small. And so you start getting this fracturing of the community. And so that's an approach, though. That's one way we could do it. If we do it that way, we'll have to ship a number of new protocols. The other approach that I'm considering, is no longer terminal emulating. Basically saying, like, you have the terminal emulation layer, which we will always have for compatibility. There's thousands and thousands of like highly used programs that need that. And so we'll always support it. But if you want native Windows from your terminal program, you want native Windows context menus, tabs, notifications, like all these like fancier features, then there's like a different, completely different protocol that has to be used. And part of my thinking there is then I could say, yeah, like Ghosty is a terminal emulator, but this is not. I'm not trying to say this is the same as Kitty, or this is a totally different thing. in the same way that like IDEs or editors that contain terminals, Ghostly would be, I don't know what you would call it at that point, but it's like a console. It's a console that contains a terminal, but also a non-terminal. And you can mix and match them in between. And I'm experimenting with both approaches, and I'm not sure what the right one is yet.
That's interesting to have a hybrid approach, especially how people might consume that. The fact that a lot of folks maybe are confused what an emulator, the word emulator, really means in the context of how you interface with the underlying OS. Like, yeah. What layer of concern is this? There are some things that you could call that interface directly with, like your syscalls if you wanted to. So like, what layer are you plugging into is very important to stay to the user so they don't get confused.
Yeah. A very concrete example, low level. It's hard. So basically, as some background, the way all terminals work is they create a file descriptor called a PTY, which is a pseudo teletype something. So the emulation starts low. Like the word pseudo is in there because it's a fake thing. But you make this thing called a PTY. The PTY has a driver that's implemented generally in the kernel of what you're running, Mac OS or Linux. And then you communicate over that file descriptor by sending bytes to it in order to write text, change colors, backspace, going back and deleting a character. Stuff like this all happens actually through the kernel. It's been shown multiple times that this is very, very slow, but performance aside, it's also just super archaic because you have layers and layers of this pseudo/emulation happening. And I think we're at the point where we're pretty comfortable with we're comfortable with the features we want in a terminal, and we don't need to be emulating machines from the 80s and 70s and 80s anymore. And a good example is how everyone expects read line capabilities in every program. And if you're not familiar, read line capabilities are like the fact that when you press the up arrow, you get history. When you press Control A, your cursor moves to the beginning of the line. Control E is end of the line. There's like dozens of other commands in there that people just think is built in to a terminal because everything starts to use it. And when it doesn't work, they're really confused and don't know who to blame, usually the terminal. But what's really happening here is that there's a library that's higher level called readline that's implementing most of this. And the fact that everyone expects that, I'm like, that's to me something, for example, that should just be built into the protocol. Like every program that takes text as input should not need to link in the special library. Every language should not have to re-implement this. This should just be built into the low-level protocol that when you hit backspace, the cursor moves back by one and tries to delete a single character. That should make sense. That usually surprises people because like when you hit backspace, what actually happens is that it sends like a hex value of 8 or something. There's a backspace code. And so there's nothing that says when you hit backspace, it moves the cursor back and deletes a character. That's just a human born like idiom that we expect. But I think it's so common, we could just encode that into the expectation. So stuff like that.
I honestly, Mitchell, it's really interesting to hear you break down the different layers and how it's an area of responsibility and ownership. Who owns what area of the interface here? And rethinking.
Yeah, and I'm sorry, I'm moving really fast through all this stuff. I'm trying to give the right amount of the background, but it's just cruft. It's just cruft on cruft.
A product of its time to supporting remote serial interfaces. Like, you get it. If you're like, okay, given that, can make sense. Moving forward, Mitchell, I already asked where you think people could plug in the most into Ghostly. You mentioned the core library. In terms of your team or what you're working on, full stack considering, what are you guys chewing on now? What are you chewing on next? What's something that you have planned that you think people would be excited about that's not out or in the GitHub right now?
Yeah, there's so much work to be done. So I'll have to thank like the incredible group of maintainers that we have. So I formalized a maintainer a couple months ago. There's probably, I don't know the exact count, but somewhere between 8 to 12 maintainers right now on different subsystems. So Linux focused or font focused or renderer focused or whatever. They do a lot of good work. And I think there's no roadmap. It's not a company, it's open source. So everyone kind of works on whatever they feel like. The general direction we all seem to be heading in though for right now is continuing to just make the terminal, the graphical terminal, the best existing terminal we can. So there's still some gap there to do that. The drop-down feature is coming to Linux in the next one. It's already available if you build from source, but it's not in a release version. But it has been on Mac for a long time, but not Linux. And that's coming to Linux in the next one. The next version of the app has translations into, so far, 7 or 8 languages. And I expect by the time we actually release it, it's going to be dozens of languages. And that's just focusing on making this thing more usable for people. I think we're going to ship an experimental version of that separate protocol, like I talked about, just to see what people think about it. And then the last big thing is libgosi, like enabling this, the actual core library to be leveraged more easily by other people. There's community members forced using it right now, and they're having success, but it's not really, we don't currently release it with its own version number or API guarantees or anything. And we need to get to that because I think that'll explode the whole ecosystem in terms of GoSTI based terminals. And that's good for everyone. And yeah, it's just a lot. There's a lot of everything, but I think like it's already, you know, the current version that's released is already a very good terminal. There's a ton of users using it every day and it's fine. And we're just polishing that off for now.
If somebody's listening to this pod and they want to become a daily user, what are the steps?
If you're a Mac user, really easy. Just go gosti.org and download it and run it. It should work just like you expect terminal to. If you're a Linux user, gosti.org and there's instructions on there. But one of the things that we do as a project is we don't actually distribute gosti for Linux. We just make it buildable. And so the packaging is actually a downstream concern, which is very Linux, like very standard Linux sort of culture. But yeah, you'll have to find it basically in your package managers and stuff to figure out where to get it. But at this point, it's on all the major operating systems. Not too bad.
You can always do it yourself. Just not deal with your package manager.
It's messy. What we are going to do for Linux is, we're going to support Snap and Flatpak. So Snap's already working, just not like super easily findable. And the Flatpak is close, but that'll be like our binary option for Linux users. If you're like a really hardcore Linux user, you know the downsides of those. So you just pick your poison of what you want to deal with, but we'll support both. Yeah.
Great. If people wanted to keep up to date with you, Mitchell, now that you're stepping your toes back into the official dev pond, are you posting about what you're developing here with gosti? And where can people find your postings?
Yeah, I do blog about once a month on my website. But if you want, so I'm much more active on like Twitter or X or whatever it's called, just generally sharing just screenshots and like little tidbits of what I'm working on. That's probably the best place right now. I do want to like syndicate that in some way that's more easily consumable, but that's the best option right now.
Awesome. Mitchell, thanks for your time coming on and talking to us about gosti. And it's exciting to hear that this is really formalized into the libgosti and then the layer that consumes it. So maybe, like you said, it'll really help explode the ecosystem once that API starts to get formalized and people can plug in and see what's possible. It's a tool. It's a tool for people to use. Go use it. Go build some cool stuff.
Yeah, maybe not, but it's still a fun project. And I think like more than anything I ever worked on, like at HashiCorp or anything, there's so many different subcategories of things you could work on in this project. So if you're somebody who's like wants to learn about graphics programming, there's that. If you want to learn how fonts work, there's that. If you want to do low level, literally count CPU cycle performance optimization, there are parts of the code base where that we've done that. There's assembly in the code base. There's so many different areas. And that's why we have a subsystem maintainer model, because it's even for me, it's too much to just be an expert in everything. And so there's been a lot of contribution already, but I've really invited people to say, this is a really good educational project if you're just trying to learn how stuff works or get into something. And yeah, feel free to jump in. You don't need to make any contributions. I'm just saying, feel free to jump in and figure out how it works just for your own sake.
Awesome. Thanks again, Mitchell. It's been a pleasure having you on. Hopefully we'll have you again on soon. See how things are going.
Sounds good. Thanks.